You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just feel like as a linebacker, you gotta have some type of look about you. Like, I don't really respect linebacker. They come in with a skinny neck. I'm just telling you. Same way how you look at them receivers, and you be like, oh, his dress code off.
Yeah, I'm with
Ain't
you.
Ain't no way you gonna catch a ball on me.
No gloves? Like, bro, he's so trash.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast. And I got my guy Rome. When he cold, but he don't want to put a coat on, he committed to that outfit right now.
I'm committed to the fashion.
and everything.
I guess you're giving me that coin that I'm committed to the outfit today. And yes, it is freezing in here. But first and foremost, let's get all the, you know, get all the little things out of the way first. For all our viewers, listeners, wherever you're tuned into right now, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. Give us a follow, give us a comment, like, and share wherever you pick up your podcast at, whether it's iHeart or Apple Podcasts. So thank you, Peanut. Introduce our guest today.
Hey, we got a good duet with us right now. We got two great NFL legends, two-time Reds, Tekel Spikes. They're phenomenal people. They have their own podcast right now, Behind the Mask. Welcome them to the show. Gentlemen, what's up?
Man, what's
finally,
you know,
I'm a chance to come in here. You
know, I'm really excited. Up with the boys. I'm really excited. Number one, Tutankhamun, your real name is Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun, yes, indeed.
Which is, to me, I don't think enough people understand that. How does that come about?
Yeah.
Please explain that, because I have the name Roman and I have to explain that sometimes.
Absolutely. So my mother and my aunt went to the King Tut exhibit back in 77 in New York. And they were so intrigued by it, they said the first male child in the family is going to be named after King Tut. So I got Tutankhamun as my name. My father's from Honduras, so last name is Reyes. So it's kind of play on words as well as King of Kings. And
nice.
My cousin was born like 10 years later, and his name is Terrence. So he got the easy name. So I'm the one that had to try to, you know, second grade.
First grade, tough.
You know, I go first day of class, and like, I'm like, here. So, yeah, man. But I love it, man. It's unique. And what I always say is you'll never meet another person with the name Tutankhamun.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Let's talk about this, too, because you guys have a great podcast and you guys talk ball. You talk other things as well. But the thing I'm really intrigued is that both you guys are already retired. And now this podcast space is kind of taken off. And so now you guys have kind of been out of the picture out of the fold for a while, and now you're jumping back in. How do you go about continue to jump back in and creating and like developing your own space in this huge space where it's obviously competitive and it's obviously like you're not a starting quarterback that just retired, but you guys do have leverage. You do have a lot of plays and your name does carry itself.
I was thinking about a whole lot to answer that question. That's why your boy pausing right now. But it was, you know, for me, it was like, when you look at social media, it really took a different approach. They took a different approach starting around 15, 16, as far as getting video content and giving you time to express yourself. It all started out 30 seconds, then it went to a minute. So I think that right there alone really helped us kind of bridge the gap when we got into it to go out. You're going to have your own followers anyway, but to really spread the message. of understanding like how to be able to use social media from that aspect, because before that, you really didn't have an outlet. You know, you had to rely on somebody else to share your story.
Mm-hmm.
But once they kind of social media took that turn towards that, that really, really kind of gave us the highway to on our way to heaven, I would like to say.
Okay. I've heard that song quite a bit.
Yeah, I think also we both had a broadcast background. So we went to broadcast boot camp. Also broadcasting and covering college football, I should say. Got our MBAs, and Tequil had his book, Behind the Mask. So when he had his book, we did a tour in Atlanta, went to New York. And what we realized is that for us, for athletes, we use a mask for protection, right? But in everyday walk, people have masks. You have your mask up, you have your guard up.
Yeah.
Right? Until there's a commonality or you feel comfortable enough to pull that mask down. So we walk in the room and I don't know you, you're probably not going to talk off, you know, off top. But if you're like, oh, this is my guy, this is my man right here, you're like, oh, cool. You let that guard down, you let that mask down. So we want to see who that person is.
Yeah.
The person that's cool enough to let you know who they really are behind the mask. You know, we're guarded being former players as it is, and the fans don't know. The audience doesn't know. So for me, I think it was a great concept for Tequil. He had his book, and then 2019, the pandemic, prior to the pandemic, we were like, you know what? Let's meet people where they're at. Podcast. Yeah.
And you actually, we talked about it 2 years prior.
He shut me down.
And I was like, man, I'm not doing no podcast. At that time, I'm going to London, holding down Sky Sports.
Yeah.
And I'm staying over there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm being compensated well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, start a podcast, man. You trying to break up my schedule throughout the year. So I kept doing research, kept hearing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, bruh, let's do it. So we did it. And then the world stopped.
Yeah.
With the pandemic.
Yeah.
And the thing about it that I appreciate is we no different than the game of football. You go up and down the adversity. We found a way to stay relevant throughout that time period. Going back to 2015, 16, when I started seeing a shift in social media. So we utilize it, bro. And, you know, that really helped connect.
So where do y'all normally meet at? Where do y'all hold the podcast?
Like, in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, okay. Yeah. So we've had ours. Ours kind of started the same way. We've had, we're on our second season right now. Mm-hmm. We've had a slew of former players on the show. And we've traveled draft, combine, mm-hmm. owners meetings, Super Bowl, like we've done it all. And I have my version of favorite guests I have. However long you guys have been doing yours, who has been one of your favorite guests that you've had on the podcast?
Say it.
First name comes to mind. Who's your first name?
All of them.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, you sound like a parent now.
Nah, you know what it is? It's so hard to answer that because we don't just have football players or basketball players. Like, I immediately thought of like one person who I really appreciated because I did not know them was Layla Ali. Mm. And then to turn around and have a sit down with Carrie Hilson, and we ain't talking about no sports at all, but we just chopping it up about life.
Yeah, she had a couple of great bangers back in the day too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and
she's
so,
coming back too.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's doing her thing.
Yeah, she's doing her thing, man. But the connections that we have, and I'm fascinated by learning. I love learning. And just to hear other people's, you know, going through their adversity. And it's no different than why I wrote the book, Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
It was about some of the greatest linebackers that played the game. And I wanted to share their story of how did they become great? What made them an outlier? So when we talk about guests, I look at her. I look at Lawrence Taylor to be able to bring him out of the shadows. And that was our podcast was the first one that he did.
Yeah.
And so for him to feel that way, I was like, wow. You know what I mean? So it's just a lot, man. Yeah. A lot that I take from it, from everybody.
Absolutely.
We had him the other day. And
I think he's still a scary.
Bad mofo. Like, he was, yeah.
Intimidating.
Yeah, I agree.
Still.
I think he's the one NFL player. We walk around, you got gold jackets. Here at the Super Bowl, everybody's here.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody f***ing with him.
Absolutely.
It's like, absolutely. He is just known, like, Probably not. I ain't barking up that tree.
He won speed all day.
All day. Same thing when we had him on the show. And the funniest part about that, I think we had our audio engineer was micing him up. So, you know, you have the lapel mic. You got to go through. Remember that? You got to go through the shirt. But he was so nervous because it's Lawrence Taylor. He's sitting there shaking. And he's like, he just drops it in his lap. And LT's like, y'all paying this guy? Yeah. But, you know, the intimidation that he still has, even in the conversation, just speaks of his greatness, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know, okay, he's an older guy now. You know what I mean? He's, what 60-something, maybe?
Just turned 65.
Yeah, 65. And you're like, all right, if I had to, I probably could take him if I had to, right? A younger guy. But you're like, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
LT.
Yeah.
You know none of that smoke.
None of that.
None of that.
So let me
ask you this. When you wrote the book, what made you want to focus on linebackers? Why not quarterbacks, receivers, DBs, D linemen? Why linebackers?
Well, it's linebackers first because, like, that's what I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it was like, from a business aspect, like, why not? I got all of the connections. I can reach out and touch damn near everybody.
Yeah.
So for me, I felt like I wanted people to see it through our lens, how we see the game and play the game. We consider ourselves the best athletes on the field.
What?
I'm sure you gentlemen of you. I'm sure you're gonna disagree.
What?
You're literally the only person saying that.
Nobody else thinks that.
Because we have to play the run, the pass.
Yeah.
So does everybody else on defense.
Yeah.
Why gotta be defense? I think it's offensive linemen. We never come off the field. You guys can sit there and tap.
Time out. DBs never come off the field either.
Yeah, I do come with the field.
DBs
sometimes.
And linebackers are the ones that don't come off the field.
They have dime packages and nickel packages.
That's,
and stuff.
That's more DBs.
That's, yeah.
Still got a backer out there.
You by yourself on this one.
Nah, you talking about rushers.
Okay, man. Which I said, because this guy here.
First of all, I figured you would say that. Look, I've always been intrigued by the linebacker position, even going as far back as, you know, watching guys like Mike Singletary with the crazy eyes. Yeah. And so,
the deaf
side. Yeah, it's for me, I would like to know this though, Tequila, because I've been told a couple of times I got a big neck. You know what I mean? You have a ginormous neck, all right? And I always also tell people, I was like, it's because my head is kind of skinny. Your head's kind of skinny too. And so I'm like, are our necks really that much bigger? Or is it the head a little bit skinnier? And then also, I mean, the motivation behind it. Where comes the motive? Because I've read this. I did a little research on it. I want to know if that part is true. Like, why did you focus on trying to get a big neck?
You read about it, right?
I did.
The people want to know. I don't know. Why did you want to focus on having a big neck?
But it wasn't even so much about having a big neck. Not majority of it.
Okay.
All right. Let's put it to bed right here.
Okay.
So my high school coach told me, he was like, look, hey man, you know, you're working your neck muscles, you know, that'll reduce the risk of you having concussions. And so I'm like, cool. So I'm doing neck exercise, putting a 45-pound plate on my head, leaning off the bench, bringing it here to my sternum. And that was an upright rows. Every day I'm doing that, bro. Every day. So I never had any, you know, like in my earlier years, like I never had no shoulder problems, not even like head problems at that time. So for me, man, it was about protection. And then the other part of it, too, was I just feel like as a linebacker, you got to have some type of look about you. Like, I don't really respect linebacker. They come in with a skinny neck. I'm just telling you. Same way how you look at them receivers, you be like, oh, his dress code off.
Yeah.
Ain't no way you going to catch a ball on me.
No gloves? Like, bro,
he's so trash. No swag.
Yeah, so like, that's Zero why, bro, swag. Like, I just, like, I'm on fit the look. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
I like that. I like that.
I didn't know that, but.
And for volume two, we don't have defensive backs behind the mask.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. I'm gonna give you my phone number. I'll be the first one.
I already got it.
Yeah. We're gonna take a short break and we'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let me, here's something else that I think the three of us have in common. We all have master's degrees. And
wow.
I didn't say any names.
I didn't say that school up north.
Okay. I just didn't say any names in the state of Alabama. Yeah. I didn't say no names. But anyway, I want to know why y'all chose the University of Miami and how does that university tailor their program toward athletes?
Fill in the gaps for me. It's a lot on this story. We took advantage of, what we had, the NFL player benefits.
Yeah.
I actually went back to school and got my undergrad first because I heard about that was coming from him and another one of my best friends, Carlos Simmons. And they was talking about, hey, man, we're going to get our master's and we can use the benefits to be able to pay for it. And so I'm like, man. And so that was the first time out of a lot of conversations we had, I felt like, y'all think y'all better than me right now.
Yeah.
So I was like,
it ain't about the paper.
It ain't, no.
It's nothing about the paper.
Pure competition. Pure competition.
Y'all think y'all better than me.
So then they just excluded me and kind of like turned their shoulder.
What? We're in the group text. We didn't signed up. Me and Carlos signed up. Zakiya was like hesitant. He was like, shit, we just going to do it. So we signed up. Next thing you know, he's like, y'all signed up? He's like, yeah. It's too late. So he got his paperwork in and stuff. And then he's like, y'all not gonna get one up on me?
You know, I wasn't gonna let him hold one up. And I think it speaks volumes about who we are. And when I say we, I don't just say us, like all of us, we always need that competitive spirit and to be able to talk to each other and drive you, because I had no intentions of going back to school at all. And you know, when my mama, she was glad about it. And she was like, I just love them boys. she used to try to tell me, like, you better take your black ass back to school. Get them papers. And I'm like, Mom, we going to be rich. Yeah, but you still need to learn how to manage it. I said, well, I'll figure that out. But to be completely honest with you, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
Just because it taught me a new way to think. Mm-hmm. It taught me to be able to respect other people's background and their thought process to see what's important to them culturally. When you just see, when we in the classroom with people from India, we had other athletes in there too as well. So it was just a diverse background, but to be able to listen and learn, that was cool for me.
And these people are smart people, and the way think and the way you're presenting that you got to, look, when you're in a room of smart people, you're naturally going to get smarter because things are going to be said that, like, he's like, man, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And so what was probably one of the more interesting...
Wait, time out, Roku. Before you ask that.
Yes.
I'm going to go back and get my MBA. What's up? Let's do it. Right now.
No.
Let's do it.
Competitive. This is your moment, Roman.
No. Competitive. Let's do it.
I'm not that competitive.
Come on.
No.
Let's do it.
That's BS.
No, let's... Come on. Dude. That's cap. Come on.
I'm fine, man.
You fine?
I'm fine. I got an A club ring.
I don't have.
We felt the same thing. We felt like, you know what? We, you know, went to college. It's cool. Went to the NFL, obviously the top of the top and 1% and all of that. But then it was like, when we all retire or we're all done playing ball, you still have that competitive, something, you need something to fuel that competitive edge, right? So this was that thing. And it was, what, 15-something years later from when we played ball? But now, because Carlos, myself, and other athletes, we all went, we still had the camaraderie of the locker room. We still had brothers to lean on when we didn't understand a certain topic. I'm talking about, what, 8-hour days, study hall.
Hey, man, that's...
You had to relearn how to learn.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? It was like scar tissue being broken.
This was going to be my question. It was like this is what I wanted to know.
Yeah,
the things that you thought has probably changed you, or you didn't even understand was going to be. So relearning how to learn, like learning how to study again. Because I've studied a playbook.
Yeah,
I went from studying books to like a playbook, and now I'm trying to get all these things to now be ready to study for a test.
It sounds like so much fun. We got
to
do it.
It was fun though. And I think the coolest thing though is when you have to like present in front of your class.
Oh yeah.
Like as athletes, we cool with going out balling in front of 70,000 people, but you got to sit in front of a class of 50 people and talk. When I tell you them nerves be racking, Carlos was up there sweating.
Sweating bullets.
We had a side there. Hey, how many seconds you think before we start leaking up there?
But it was dope, man. And again, you holding each other accountable and no one was still above the other. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't want to look on our LinkedIn and see it say Tucson Camarillo's NBA and his not say that.
How long was the process?
It was a year and a half.
Year and a half, 2 years. It was in the executive NBA.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
So it was in person or was it
both online? Person. Yeah. So they catered it around the NFL season. So we would go during the off season in class.
Yeah.
Down to Miami. And then when the guys had mini camp, training camp, because there was still some active players there.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith, Carlos Dunlap. Some other guys.
Mike.
Yeah.
Will My Smith. Boy Jari Evans went Will back.
Yeah.
Will got Jari to go back.
Yeah.
So, I remember this very vividly. The thing I will talk about, though, is, and I'm bragging on myself a little bit, is Takeo working with the SEC Network. Could you talk about getting into that?
Wait, Tom, how did you get that job? Like, that's what I don't know. How did you work? I knew you were SEC Network. I never heard of him.
Well, on his interview, he crushed it, but I was over there feeding him assists.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Really just, and I think I was out sharing, we've never done a show together. And it was just really cool to know him as a person, as a great player in the NFL for all these years. And now he's back talking college football and he does a great job of that. But it's also really cool because it was I had this guy's back and I love seeing him there. And I just wanted him to be more calm. And I think just having me there, it was just okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
I was going to acknowledge that because it's the little things in life. And so that was huge for me because that was the first time me coming up there. So I was like, you don't know who's going to be interviewing you. And then when I saw you was coming and it was intentional, I was like, my boy, no, I treat everything like the national anthem just played, bro. I'm ready to go get it. You know what I'm saying? But it really helped me though. And 2 years later now, we still rocking and rolling.
Yeah, man. How have you enjoyed doing live TV? Because I don't think people understand doing live TV versus
a little stress.
Recorded TV. How have you enjoyed that? What are some of the things that you have that you didn't know before that you know now? And then maybe kind of talk about the show you do, the Listen Lang, on Wednesdays.
Yeah, so super dope. First year I did every game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't look at the game and just say, oh, man, Tennessee, they couldn't stop the run. It's so generic, watered down. And so that's what I had to learn how to do on live TV. But this is the kicker. You'd be like, oh, all right, that's easy. You can do that. Got to be concise.
Yeah, that part.
And you got 10 games on at one time. And so, bro, we had to relearn how to learn again.
Yeah.
And so, but by midseason, I really caught my stride. That went well.
Got them reps.
Got the reps, man. It's all about getting the reps. That gave me more confidence. You know, and every week I'm tweaking the schedule as far as timing and everything, trying to make sure I'm ready for Saturday. Year two, which was this past year, live TV, I still do it, love it. I love having my own show. So they were, ESPN saw fit to it. Say, hey, you want the opportunity to have your own show? It will be called Out of Pocket. And I was like, well, it's not really my own show then if you're telling me what it is. I didn't get to
pick and choose my name for my show either on Monday.
I guess that's what happened. But no, I was like, I'm down. Boom. Yeah. So get in. And it's a lifestyle reality. A lifestyle athletic sports show. And myself, Alyssa Lang, love her to death. Like, I knew she knew football just from looking at the network. But to sit down with her, she went into depth detail. And I'm talking about, like, Mina Kimes. Like,
Yeah. She
like,
know it.
Like, I respect Mina Kimes, her analysis. So when I sat down beside Alyssa Lang, I was like, man, we hit it off. Yeah. And I actually did my first show with her. So that's what gave me a level of comfortability too as well. But we hit it off. It's almost the same as what we're doing here on Out of Pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we'll go back, look at the weeks and see what players probably got stiffed armed or something. We make fun and light of it to where it's not a heavy football show. And then we have fun, we laugh. But then also we have certain segments to where, okay, now let's look at this 4th-and-31 over here and see what happened at Auburn and why they gave that up. You know what I mean? So it's a good mixture. And for me, I thought it was a perfect balance for me. So as far as live TV and the show I have now, love it, man. Looking forward to doing it again.
We'll be back in a minute.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you like about the podcast versus TV?
For me, when I did some broadcasting with covering college football as well. For me, I like the podcast because it's even more authentic, mm-hmm. right? With our guests, with obviously myself and Tequila, you get the real interaction, right? So live TV, when he broadcasts in the studio, you know, just studio panel, obviously. In a game, when I covered college football, you like the game. But if I'm covering it, the game, and it's a blowout going on, you get bored. So when he was covering, remember, there was times we would text each other when he was broadcasting with back another network, and I was covering ball. It was like, this is boring, man. You know what I mean? As former athletes, we know good football.
Right.
But you see bad football, kind of got to get charged up. But for me, the podcast, which I guess you always charged up because there's always something. There's always a nugget. There's always now a clip that's going to go viral. It's something that you're going to find out from your guest that you're like, you know what? That's our touchdown. When he says it in the back of our mind, we're sitting there like, this is it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
we
you
got feel gold.
That we got gold. And for me, that's like what
that.
I like.
We got gold. So is that the most gratifying part of the podcast for you guys personally? Is like getting that clip and like, oh, that was it. Is that the most gratifying, or is it just letting people tell their story? No. Or
for me, it's letting people tell their story, right? Because you got guys like we had John Abraham on. Yeah. People haven't heard from him for years.
Yeah.
Jamal Lewis, people haven't heard from him for years. LT, like Tequila said, Charles Barkley, Eric Dickerson, some of the legends, right? The most gratifying part is when the interview is over, the episode is over, and they're like, you know what? I appreciated that. Because I never would have had this conversation with anybody else. But I felt like I was back in the locker room. It felt good. It felt natural. It didn't feel like an interview, like a media interview. It felt like I was chopping it up with my boys. And I'm like, yo, that's what it is. And we got guys that cry. Kerry Hilson cried. John cried. Hell, I cried.
He cried.
I cried. You know what I mean? So when you have that authentic, vulnerable space, but you still feel, you find comfortability in being vulnerable amongst your peers, that's the most gratifying part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're not going to take your story and spin it like some media just to get a clip. No, no, no.
Right.
We're going to tell a story like you want it told because you're the author of your own autobiography. It's your narrative. How you want it perceived, that's how it's going to be perceived. So that's
Rome literally cries every podcast we have.
I do. Well, because I cry when I laugh. So
every every podcast he cries.
All the time.
He be like,
you know how the ladies,
Right. I do that all the time. All the time.
Every episode he cries. So I feel that. Yeah,
it's real. And you know, as we alpha males, man, you know, you don't want to show your vulnerability all the time because it's perceived as weakness.
Yep.
Nah, it's real.
No, I saw the John Abraham podcast, and that was a powerful one.
It was real.
It was so real. Yep. And the whole suffering in silence, and I commend you too for giving him a safe space and pouring into him and letting him pour into y'all with what he was going through at that time. Because when he said those things, it was just like, what? Did I just hear that right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time when, you know, he was playing, he was that dude in Atlanta. Beast. And then
I just remember them flamboyant tattoos, not flamboyant, but like very bright tattoos. Mm-hmm. You could just see it from the sidelines.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Y'all did a hell of a job on that interview with him. So I just want to say, yo, that was a dope interview.
Didn't even have any idea it was gonna go that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other part I like about, I love live TV, but I also love the podcast probably a little more because it's the unexpected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had to shut down shop. And, you know, because this dude here was just hard headed. Like, hey man, I feel something. Feel a little tightness, you know? And after like a couple of weeks, he was like, hey man, why don't you just go get checked out, bro? Now, what he didn't say was he had a lump. It was a lump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lump in my groin.
Lump in his groin. We kept myself, Carlos Simmons. It got to a point, a year and a half later?
Yeah,
a year. A little bit over a year. He went to the doctor, found out he had lymphoma. And like it was.
Oh, wow.
It like totally can't curse on here, but y'all don't want me to curse. I was fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
Like when he called me, I was like, I couldn't even breathe, bro.
Yeah.
And I said, kept it together for him. And he actually knew when we came out here, well, not here, but at Super Bowl last year. I was like, you sure you want to do this? He was like, yeah, I got it. He was like, I need to do it. Because it was time. I was like, man, we just don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the storytelling to John Abraham, you know, to hear him share his story on why he came out and decided to do it, because this was a lot of people who thought he's still close to them, but they felt offended because he didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want that emotional trauma to follow him. And so to be able to look at what we do totality wise, that's what makes me love doing the podcast sector so much, getting those stories and him just being a man about it. And shedding light on it for all of us to know so that, look, guys, man, I know we tough and I like to play dumb tough. And I'd say it all. But at the end of the day, you got to get checked. You can't pour from no empty cup. And if you ain't right, ain't nobody right.
True.
Preaching quote right there.
I mean, Taquillo, man, he from the South, bro. That ain't I mean, so Mama Spikes ain't playing, bro.
Hey, girl.
Mama Spikes ain't prime, bro.
Shabanado Sky.
So I see, it feels like you guys have really found your lane in this whole podcast space. And it starts because you guys genuinely care about each other. Clearly, we can see that. And so as this thing continues to roll down the interstate highway, how do you continue to expand? Like, what is next? And because I know that's how most of us are wired. It's like, all right, once I get here, it's like, you know, getting to the league was the goal. Then when you get there, like, how do I get to a Pro Bowl? Oh, how do I get paid? Or how do, like, what's the next? And so as this lane continues to roll on for you guys, I want to know what's next in you guys' minds.
It's two part. I'll start first.
You already started first.
Well, maybe because it was my idea first. You know, and stop crying.
I will.
I think it's, continue to make bigger and meaningful sponsorships to be able to become syndicated on a bigger platform.
Okay.
To be able to leverage those partnerships and do some meaningful things. Have meaningful conversations as we go around the country. You know, so for me, that's the big thing, is just making sure that we continue to grow, scale as much as we can.
Yeah.
And everything else to take care of itself from that part.
Yeah. And I think the dopest part is it's not just a podcast, it's a media company behind the mass media. So from going to broadcast boot camp, from getting our MBAs, we're like, all right. Like, to your point earlier, anybody could do a podcast, right? Own the whole building. Own your content. Yes. As opposed to sitting there and saying, okay, we want to just be on this platform. It's like, nah, you know what? This doesn't seem right. We'll license it to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not just going to have our stuff sitting up there. Like, let's make this a business partnership, a deal. Like, we're not going to work for you. We'll work with you. And also continuing to tell the stories, particularly from my guys, right? Because there's so many people that tell us, like, you know what? I didn't know you were going through that, but I appreciate you talking about it because I was going through it too.
Yeah.
I had these same thoughts of what life after football is like. I had these same thoughts of, you know, possible suicide, or I had something going on with my health, but I didn't check it. But because you checked your health and you were vulnerable and shared that, I went to the doctor too. So now I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Because again, like Tequio said, a year, that was dumb freaking year. It took him and Carlos cursing me out, saying, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get your shit checked. You know what I mean? And when I finally did and find out like something was really going on, if it wasn't for my brothers checking me,
yeah,
I probably still, it would have been another year. And then it went from, as opposed to stage 2, stage 3 or 4, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So being that voice for the brotherhood, for the brothers that feel like they don't have a voice,
yeah,
but they got ears, they can still hear it, they can listen, they can feel it. You know what I mean? Sometimes that resonates in wherever they're at in their lives. So I think that's the thing for me. And obviously, like Tequila said, just continue to scale the business and growing it as large as we possibly can and taking it as far as this thing can go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enough. If it's the money's the goal, there's enough money out there for everybody.
Yeah.
Like you said, everybody's, you know, a lot of people are doing podcasts, but bro, it's you have a different story. You got a different story. Right. I have a different story. This guy's story, he hated me because I was from New York until he got cool with me. He's like, all right, now I like him. It's a different story.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, I ain't trust cats from New York.
I don't blame you, dog. Me neither. Growing up, like, nah, they talk too fast.
Come on, man. But yeah, man, just continue to share these stories. I think that's the most important thing because otherwise, you know, Alpha Males, we holding it in.
Yeah.
We're not letting it out. So we have a space where we can let it out and be comfortable letting it out because we know that we're not going to judge each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. So we're all four of us in this room. We're that top less than 1% to make it to the NFL. We've had success on the field, success off the field. Clearly you guys, bachelor's degrees, MBAs.
Shout out to us.
Shout out to us three over here. I want to.
That's a hard line right there. You just drew it's a real hard line right there, dog.
What I really want to know is four people who would you put on Mount Rushmore to help you get to where you are right now? Two time, you go first.
My mother.
Okay.
Obviously, that's my rock. My son.
Yeah.
Because he's my firstborn, and I knew when I got to the league, that was my motivation. I say my grandmother, because she told me when I was young, she said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go to the NFL, play football professionally. And she's like, just do it. It's not that easy, Grammy. You know? Just do it. You want to do it, do it. And that stuck with me in terms of how I approach life. I feel I can do anything. Baby girl, because my kids are the people that to you to motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I feel like I want to give up, it's like, nah, I can't give up. When I feel like this ain't going to be right, nah, you're doing it for something bigger than yourself. So for me, it's family, you know what I mean? And shout out to every, obviously, coaches and people that have helped me along the lines, but definitely for me, my fam is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's somewhat of the same thing. Like, I get more specific. My mother, father, my father introduced me to the game. He's passed now.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced me to the game, taught me how to be a man and how to carry yourself. My mother, like all the fire inside of me, like I get it from her. You know, she calls it a controlled aggression.
I like that. I like that.
You know, so those two definitely, man, for kind of carving me out into the man who I am. I would also say my high school coach, his entire staff, but him coming with the vision to a small rural town and making you believe that you can be whatever you want to achieve. And and then lastly, I would say my daughter, you know, love that little Joker, man. Love her.
Yeah.
Like, she's shown me it's a different side. It's like it's a totally different side that always keeps me evolving. And I feel like that's what keeps me young. Not saying that I need more, but it's just, you know how it is dealing with women. You know, they be sometimes, then they be here, and then they love on you. And then, you know, it's just a different mix array of emotions. But she's taught me how, like, all right, sit down and listen to her. It made me also realize how much I probably didn't listen before her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't say this for the podcast. But out of those four people, they've been very instrumental. So they would definitely be on my Mount Rushmore.
That's beautiful. Fellas, we appreciate y'all, man, coming on the podcast. This is dope.
Yeah,
this,
man.
This was kind of behind the mask.
This is really behind the mask.
Listen, man, we appreciate y'all having it. It took long enough. I mean, you know what I mean? Y'all doing y'all.
Yeah, man, we seen y'all last year. You know what I mean? We crossed paths. Now we together. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate
synergies.
That. That's it, man.
I like it.
That,
I like
man.
It. So whenever y'all want us to come through, like, or the NBA crew, yeah, I can. I'm going back. I think I'm gonna do it. No cap, no bullshit. Like I'm like, man, wait. All y'all was like, yo, I got a master's, but I ain't got no NBA. Like I'm thinking about Rome. I'm gonna keep pouring into you, boss.
You should do it, man. You really should do it.
We do it.
You should do it. I like that for you.
You know what I mean? Like, bro, you're gonna be great. You're gonna be great. All right, man. Let's get up out of here, man. All of our listeners and viewers, thank you, man. This has been another special one from between Tootin and Takiyo, man. Y'all go check them out at Behind the Mask. They do great things on their pod, man. And you can check them out on YouTube. They're on social media, Instagram, and all that other things. So y'all please go check them out. Support, man, because this is what this whole thing really is about. Us brothers as former NFL players, this fraternity, leaning on each other, loving one another, understanding that these talks, we got to continue to have them. These are free spaces, open spaces to really open up and talk about these things that we normally don't ever talk about. So thank you for that, man. And all of our listeners, viewers, make sure you give us a 5-star rating, give us a follow, click like, comment, and share. Thank you so much for that, man. And hey, wherever you listen to your podcast, what is it? Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Please tell a friend to tell a friend to do what, Peanut?
Tell a friend.
All right, man, get us up.
Hey, I'm Peanut with the NFL Players Second Acts podcast, and that's Behind the Mask in their podcast. Go check them out. We out, fellas and ladies.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.